This is Sunday, March 6th, the ALAC and Regional Leadership Working Session, 9:45.
Yes. shitting you. Just to see you. Come
in. Oh, okay. Just to see you. Okay.
No.
What about Hollywood would love to be on a camel?
ALAC and regional leaders at the table, please. We're about to start. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Tijani's outside with Sean. It's 10.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're starting late. I have an absolute hard stop at 11. So I would like to start this meeting now. I will express a fair amount of dissatisfaction that a meeting that is starting at the luxurious time of 9:45, we can't seem to get more than half the people in the room 15 minutes after it started. To those of you who are here, thank you. To those of you who are not here and not listening to me, not much I can do about it, but I'm issuing a level of dissatisfaction to the extent that the people who are missing are associated with you. Please let them know. All right. The agenda is a moving thing. The items that we'll start with right now are the ALAC questions or the issues for the GAC and the board. If we finish these prior to 11 o'clock, we will go back into the CCWG discussion and continue that one. We will again start by using a count up timer. If you feel you're speaking for too long, take a look at it and see how long it's been. If necessary, we will go to the countdown timer with rude sounds at the end. Any questions before we start? Thank you. Can we have the questions for the GAC? Oh, they are there. These are not questions. These are topics. The GAC has accepted these. They have suggested they might come back with something of their own. They have not yet. I don't think we have a lot to discuss, but I would like to hear from people who would like to present or talk about these things. Or if you'd like me or somebody to explain more what they mean, because if you don't know that, then we can do that too. The first item were brief updates, and I say brief because from our point of view, it's just a matter of saying what's going on. The GAC may well have things to formally discuss on these, and in which case, of course, the schedule will be adjusted suitably, but we have not assigned specific times. The first is an update on where we are on CCWG accountability. By the time we meet with GAC, we may well have ratified the whole proposal. We may not have. So that will be a matter of reporting. As we know, the GAC is in interesting discussions on where they are, and they may want to report where they are. They're not planning to make a formal decision until after our meeting, I believe. When exactly is our meeting with the GAC? Does anyone know? It is Tuesday, correct. So last I heard, they were not planning to make a formal decision till Wednesday, but they may have adjusted their schedule because of requests for decisions earlier. The second item on the brief updates is the GTLD safeguards. Now, you will recall that this is something that's been going on off and on since the Beijing meeting, when the GAC issued a communique. At the Los Angeles meeting a year and almost 2 years ago now, I think, or a year and a half ago, we issued advice to the board to essentially freeze all GTLD, new GTLD activities until the issues were addressed. They chose not to follow that advice. We have had a number of interactions since then. The board initiated a number of discussions with both members of At Large and other parts of ICANN. That came to nothing. The new GTLD committee and now the board has been quite divided on whether this is an issue that the board should be addressing one way or another or not. The original request that came through the business constituency, which we supported, was that, and it came before most of the contracts were signed, was that ICANN take some action to make sure the contracts are changed to reflect the sensitivity of some GTLDs. Since that time, most of these contracts have been signed. There is no practical way to unilaterally change contracts. We are now requesting that we at least convene a group to investigate the sensitive TLDs and use it as information going forward in creating any new rounds or in the CCT review committee to help guide them as to whether what kind of problems to look at. That was the request we made, and you saw a letter from me that we had agreed to on the previous ALAC meeting that came out last week. The current, following a significant number of discussions at this meeting, my guess is, and it's a guess, is the board may respond to us by suggesting that they not convene a committee or a group as we requested, but forward the problem to both the CCT review committee and the new GTLD PDP, the PDP that's working on future rules, to do that investigation and incorporate the results into their into their output. From my perspective, that's a good response. It says we don't convene yet another committee that we then have to staff, but we do require that the work be done and factored in, because otherwise the work of this new committee could only then be sent to them. It does presume that one of those groups will actually do it, which is perhaps an act of faith. I'm not sure. I don't know how the board would word such a request should they just choose to do it. But from my perspective, that would be an adequate way of addressing the problem. But I'd like to hear from you, because it's going to be come up at the GAC meeting and it will come up again at the board meeting. So the question is that a reasonable way forward? Olivier has been my partner in crime in a lot of this, so I guess I'll ask for comments from Olivier first, but then open up the floor to anyone else.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And I actually had a question regarding the potential answer that we might receive of sending this to the PDP on the next round of applications. Does this fall within what's called in the GNSO the picket fence? In other words, is this a policy issue or is this an implementation issue? I know that we had discussed this in the past and there were some that were saying, well, we need to have a PDP on this. And our view originally was that this was not liable to be either fixed or tackled as a PDP because it was outside the picket fence.
Okay. You've asked an either-or question, and the answer is yes.
No.
Okay. Or no. It applies equally. My belief is, and it's supported by a number of senior ICANN people, is that the current picks are outside of the picket fence. That means we cannot use a PDP to alter an existing written contract. But there is nothing prohibiting a PDP on the next round from setting a different set of rules and including both picks and perhaps stronger picks in line with the GAC safeguards as part of the framework for new GTLDs, for future GTLDs.
Yeah, Olivier speaking. So that's interesting because haven't the PICs been something that was added to the contracts when we came closer to, when ICANN came closer to actually signing the contracts? I don't think that PICs were part of the original GNSO 2007 PDP to create this, and I'm not sure whether they were part of the applicant guidebook. But the reason why I'm mentioning this is that I have already heard voices in the GNSO saying, well, the next round, thankfully, we'll be able to get rid of PICs altogether.
Assuming this is now becoming a political discussion.
Yes.
Assuming the new GTLD committee looking at the future rounds says that there shall be no picks, that there shall be no differentiation in TLDs, given our current interpretation of policy and implementation, which has been developed in the last couple of years, I believe the board would be hard-pressed to again invent PICs and impose them. The argument that PICs are policy under today's definition of policy, which is different from 5 years ago, is a moderately strong argument. So if the PDP on the next round determines that we do not need anything like PICs, it may well be correct that we don't have them. That is why some of us have said it's not going to be sufficient 5 years from now to complain that we didn't do it right if you're not participating in that PDP, if there aren't voices. If the only voices in that PDP are the ones saying, down with PICs, we don't need them, they were an abomination, they should never have been invented and we're going to kill them, then that is what will happen. So, I mean, now we're getting into a different discussion from the particular one on the picks on the last round. But yes, it is quite possible they could disappear, and it's not clear they could be reinvented as they were last time.
My point, Ilan, was that we might be saying, well, we've worked on this, then we're being told, okay, go and look over there. And then from over there, we're being told, go and look over there somewhere else. And effectively, what we're being given is the merry-go-round. You know, we'll go around and then it comes back to us and it's, oh, there is no PICs. And that's where I have a concern that we are losing ground, or we might be losing ground somehow. Anyway,
let me rephrase your question for you. You're asking if the board forwards it to the new GTLD PDP, what belief do we have that they will do an honest evaluation and incorporate the results? And of course, the possibility is their evaluation will say there's no need for it. We know there's significant people on that group who have already said there is no need for them, and the GAC should not have given their Beijing advice at all. So that's quite a valid answer, and I would suggest that if at the board meeting, and we're talking about the GAC meeting right now, but we've drifted into it because it's a joint issue. I think you would be well put if the board suggests that that's how they're going to address our concern, that you raise that issue of, you know, that it doesn't give you a warm feeling that we're sending it over to the people who have already said we don't want any.
Conflict of interest.
I think we've just gotten a volunteer speaker for that subject in the GAC, in the board meeting. In any case, within the GAC meeting, our letter said that assuming the GAC is still interested in this, then we are requesting a committee. If the GAC has lost interest and is willing to drop the subject, then I don't think we have much strength to defend it. So I think the subject within the GAC is there still an interest? And if indeed the board suggests that it be handled in one of the other groups, how does the GAC intend to participate in that process? All right, we spent much more time on a brief update than I was planning to. Oh, I'm sorry, Holly, go ahead.
It is a related issue, and that was not only the issue of the PICs, but also the confusion from GTLDs, what kind of structures are going to be in place, and maybe this is a question for the GAC and or the board. If you remember when we looked at some of the GTLDs and the names, the ruling on some was not consistent with the ruling on others of the names. So is there a mechanism to actually deal with in the new GTLD if there is a second round, the confusion problem as opposed to the PICs problem, because they're different. If you remember, some of the ruling was that those names are very similar and therefore the two can't stand, and then there were other rulings that seemed to be completely contradictory to that. Is there a mechanism to deal with that for this round? Do you remember the inconsistent rulings? You must.
I was just waiting for you to finish the question before I answered it. I think if there was one lesson learned from the last round, it is that you cannot have a system of external adjudicators who come up with conflicting rulings. I think the board learned that lesson. I think the GNSO has learned that lesson. I have some level of faith that the new rules will address that particular issue. But I think it's completely unconnected from this one. Of all the problems that need to be addressed, that one I have more comfort with that it will be addressed properly. All right, next item, and going on to the ones that are not brief updates. Sorry, Olivier, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and some of you might be wondering, what is this whole issue about PICs? Why are we so intent on looking at these things? And one of the problems is that many of the new GTLDs are now being used quite extensively for spamming and for phishing. Pretending that they are your bank, pretending that they are your doctor, or your whatever it is. And when we initially discussed this with the new GTLD program committee, the response that we had from registries and contracted parties was, there is no problem. Thing is, we've looked at the statistics, and just like we've predicted, it is crazy how quickly the new GTLDs have been taken up by people that will send malware and basically the stuff that will affect our users, end users, very negatively indeed.
Thank you, Olivier. Okay. The question was... next one is the impact of new meeting strategy on the GAC and the ALAC. I don't think that is going to be a very substantive one. There is a moderate chance that for the upcoming B meeting, there will be some restructuring done because of the change of locale. And I happen to know that from the GAC's point of view, they don't have a real problem with it. I didn't know at the time this was written. So I don't think this is going to be a very substantive discussion. The last one is the new GTLD round that we've been talking about. I have a very strong concern here. If you recall what happened last go-round, the GAC issued a number of principles for new GTLDs, and the GAC and the GNSO, people seem to think the GAC and the GNSO did not interact during the process of developing that policy. That's not the case. They did, in fact, interact. The GAC routinely, however, said, look at what we said. Read our principles. Make sure you follow all of our principles. It was only after the policy was about to be implemented several years later that they started raising issues. I have some level of concern because this time around, last time I checked, there were a couple of GAC observers, that is, they received the mailing list on this PDP, but no GAC members. And although we know no one can act on behalf of the GAC, having GAC members who are aware of issues that are of concern to countries, I believe is very important that they participate. And the intent of this item is to push that idea home and try to figure out ways the GAC can participate so they're not in a reactive mode afterwards. Now, I certainly can present all of these items. To the extent anyone else feels comfortable of talking to any of them, I would far prefer that I'm not the only voice being heard. So I'm not asking for volunteers at this moment, but please, if you have an interest in presenting any of these or being one of the multiple presenters of any of these, let's talk privately. Anything else regarding the GAC? Seeing nothing, let's go on to the board. I think so. Well, it's not a matter of approved. We've already published the schedule. Holly?
Holly Rage for the Transcript Records. Just a question. Is it too late? Is there anything to do with the transition that we should be talking to them about at all?
Isn't that the first item?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Can we have up the questions, the issues for the board? Thank you. All right. The first one is our presenting the current status or anything else we have to report at that time. By the time we are meeting with the board, I'm presuming we will have made a decision. They also put on their agenda feedback regarding the report, the CCWG accountability report. So I think those two basically overlap. We know the board has said that they are prepared to unilaterally accept what is in the report. And I think they're eager to find out if everyone else is. And as I said, by then I'm presuming we will have made a decision and announced that decision. And so I don't think that's going to be a very substantive discussion. You never know. The second one is the issue that we were... Sorry, Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Yes, I guess that we will already have been decided about our position about the CCWG report. And but the discussion would be perhaps good because they asked for it, and we have some points that we I prefer to discuss it with them. because we are not in a contradictory position, but we have some clarification to do to have from them, and perhaps they have clarification to have from us.
Surely, if we have anything that we want to say, obviously, if we're not ratifying something, we have a strong obligation, in fact, based on the charter, to say exactly what we're unhappy with and what we would want to fix. I think we all understand what that would imply if that actually was acted on in terms of the transition. So it's not saying we won't do it, but it's less likely than otherwise might be. We have also had discussions on whether we will make a statement along with the answer, and that's something we need to still discuss in this group. If we include a formal statement, which Leon has begged us not to do, but nevertheless, then I think we will have to mention it and want to mention it at that point. It is conceivable that we could not make a formal statement, but still want to raise a number of issues that the group as a whole has a level of discomfort with. I would like to be able to limit that to things that the group has a level of discomfort with and not just one individual. But obviously that's a decision we're going to have to make in the next 24 hours. Okay. A follow-on and then Olivier.
Even if we have already approved the report without statement, the discussion is not harmful at all. It will not be something to report or to take into account as an official position of ELAC. It will be only clarification, for example, because I feel that we have very close positions and we don't have really a contradiction. So it is only, since they put it on the agenda and since we originally put it on the agenda, I think we have to keep it.
There's no question it's on the agenda. Even if it's a 30-second item on the agenda. So it's not a question of whether it's on the agenda or not. Since we both put it there, it's too late to take it off. I would suggest, however, we defer any discussion of exactly how we present it till we decide what it is our answer is, and we can go back to a discussion of what do we say to the GAC, to the board, rather, once we know what it is, what the substance of what we're saying is. Otherwise, it's a hypothetical discussion at this point. Olivier.
Thank you, Alan. Olivier Campanoblon speaking. One of the things that took place yesterday in the GNSO room, since I spent most of the time there yesterday, was discussion of the CCWG accountability. And it seems that one of the tricky issues is the number of changes, small changes, or big for some, I guess, that the board tried to introduce at the very last moment. I just wanted to make sure that the ALAC is clear on what our position is with regards to this, because it may be that the board asks a question about that. I'm talking about the thresholds, the last points that the board have made and which have, I can't say enraged, but certainly upset some people in the GNSO and even outside the GNSO.
I don't have a list of them in front of me, but my recollection is for the majority of them, they supported positions we had taken. So I think we were in general in alignment. The details of how they said it may have been somewhat different, but perhaps the most substantive one and the one that took the longest to resolve was the voting threshold to remove the board. And I think we took a very strong position of exactly the same thing. We used different words to do it, but I think our positions were very close to it.
So. And the one about the GAC? The GAC not being able to vote on any matters that relate to the GAC.
The board accepted that.
none of us liked the carve-out. I don't think the GAC did. I don't think the board did. Well, I know the board didn't, or at least some members of the board, and I know we didn't. But in the end, as a group, we all accepted that. Well, it remains to be seen whether the GAC accepts it. As a group, the board accepted it, and we accepted it, subject to the carve-out of the carve-out. That is the reduction of the voting thresholds. So I think our position was were similar. I think philosophically we thought it wasn't needed and shouldn't have been there and was detrimental to the relations between the various bodies. But the GNSO took a very strong position that they would likely not ratify if it was left unchanged, and that's the way the world unfolded. So I don't think there's any issue with us with the board. Tijani.
Olivier asked about the GAC. Don't ask about the GAC, because the GAC will not take any position. They cannot have a consensus on anything. And I don't think that they will oppose, because they cannot have a consensus about it.
Well, since we're in a private meeting that isn't being recorded or broadcast, that's a joke. Someone told me that one of the things the GAC might do is they might end up, and I'm quoting, not opposing the proposal. Now, I'm not quite sure how the GAC would vote on not opposing. It may mean no one formally said we oppose, or someone said we oppose and someone else vetoed it, because essentially anyone has a veto. It's an interesting double negative statement that is very hard to interpret, but might sounds positive. So I don't know what we're going to get out of the GAC, and my life is complex enough to not put bets on it at this point. Wafa?
Yes, if I well understood, that means that the GAC will vote for no supporting, so no consensus, so they will support? And if they will be in the empowered committee, it's the same thing. They are discussing if they will not be in the empowered committee, no consensus, so they will be in the empowered committee. Okay. Reverse process, so they will be okay and they will be in the empowered committee.
I saw a definition once of a diplomat. And I don't remember it exactly, the wording, but the essence was, a diplomat is someone who can insult you to your face and make it sound like it's a compliment. Okay. The GAC is composed of 154 diplomats. How they will word their statements, I do not know, and I'm not going to try to guess right now. They have an interesting challenge. They are very divided, with some people very strongly on either end. At the same time, the GAC pretty well cannot be seen as the organization that stops the transition. Can you imagine the situation that all of these countries who have been for years saying the U.S. should not be controlling the internet be the ones that say the U.S. should stay there? It's an untenable position. I would not want to be in Thomas Schneider's footsteps or his shoes, and I'm not going to really predict how it goes forward. We do have a hard stop in 25 minutes, but I see a number of hands. Shun.
Yeah, this is Shun for the record. Thank you. I just wanted to get confirm the process here. Are we discussing CCWG now, or would there still be time to discuss the GAC issue later? Because I have some couple of points, and I don't want to.
We are discussing our discussion with the board.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And we seem to have drifted into a prediction of what the GAC is going to say to the board. I'm not quite sure I remember how we got there, but I'm suggesting maybe we don't want to stay there for very long.
Olivier.
I cannot see whose card is up
Olivier,
there, but
Olivier.
Somewhere in the area, it may be Sebastian. Go ahead, Sebastian.
How will the board respond to the GAC?
How will the board respond to the GAC? Okay, we don't know what the GAC will say, and now we're asking to predict how the board will respond to the unknown GAC statement. Maybe you'd like to take over that meeting and chair that part. Sebastian.
Yeah, the same, I would say the same question that Sean, but may I suggest that we stop the discussion on the content. We need to have time to discuss this issue during the CCWG session. Then let's agree on what are the topics. And if the topics need more discussion, let's put it in a working time to do that. We need time to have this discussion. I have also some comments on that. I don't think it's the right time to do it. Please, let's finish the schedule for this meeting with the board and see what we keep and what we don't keep. And then we will discuss the substance on other part of this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. That's what I've been trying to do, perhaps unsuccessfully. May we go on to item number 2, which we have already discussed in some detail. The substance of item number 2 is to comment on our rationale for sending the letter. That is, we believe even if the issues cannot be resolved by changing the contracts in some selected TLDs, we should understand them well enough so that if and when we go forward to a new round, we perhaps can avoid similar problems. I am predicting that the board will come up with a proposed implementation of referring it to the two existing groups. My concern at that point is, will it really be addressed? Will there really be GAC involvement if we do it in that area? And since the GAC initiated this overall issue, I don't think we can avoid having GAC involvement in it, and it's not clear that will happen in either of those two venues. So, but I don't think we are going to reject it out of hand because it is a viable way of going forward. Again, that's my position. I will reflect what the committee's position is, though. Comments on this? I think we've made a decision. Item number 3 is our budget issues. There are two aspects to that. The first is the multi-year General Assembly and summit planning we've been talking about. If you recall, we have been planning General Assemblies over the last number of years by making budget requests annually, most of them. Some of them were made in the early years in a more ad hoc fashion. The summit requests were all done in an ad hoc fashion. That is, they were not done through the regular budget request, but a special request to the board. And that was done for a number of reasons. Among other things, the cost of a summit is roughly the same size as the whole allocation of special budget requests to all ACs and SOs. The chance of us asking for something and getting the whole package to the exclusion of everyone else was not particularly large. So it was done through other processes, but there were awkward processes. We have established a pattern of a General Assembly runs roughly once every 5 years, and one of summit once every 5 years, and a General Assembly, one General Assembly per region in the interim. I know some of us have talked about more often summits. Fatty, at the last one, suggested we have a summit every year. I haven't seen a lot of volunteers to organize that, nor do I think the overall community will be all that interested in spending that level of money every year. So I think the pattern we're on right now is not an unreasonable one. Should it be compressed to 4 years instead of 5? A good question, but that's a minor change to it. It has been suggested, however, that the only way to do that on a firm basis is to get a commitment from ICANN to do that level of funding on a regular basis. And we have been working, Olivier specifically has been working on a white paper that you've all seen draft copies of, to essentially convince the powers that be to commit to that level of multiple funding. Now, ICANN traditionally has said,
We fund a year at a time. We cannot fund any further. If the money doesn't get spent at 1 year, we're back to zero. That's a decision. Money in a bank account can be kept to the next fiscal year. It doesn't evaporate. So it's a conscious decision. We have had messages from ICANN finance people for several years now that they are thinking of multi-year funding of various things. That statement has been made more often recently. We have had strong indications from a number of very senior ICANN people that they would be sympathetic to this kind of request. So our challenge is to now finalize the document and present it relatively soon. And we're simply laying the groundwork with the board as a whole, because although we've talked to individuals about it, we've never talked to the board about it. And this is simply an opportunity to explain why we are doing it and say the document is coming soon. Now, I'm assuming that Olivier will do the main presentation on this, since he's been the point man on it, but certainly other interventions are welcome. I see two cards, Tijani and then Sebastian.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I think that our proposal to have a special request, a multi-year special request, is perhaps an alternative, but the second alternative is to have a request to include in the budget of ICANN, in the core budget of ICANN, this activity. This is the way that it will not be something that may be evaporate. It will be included in the budget, and if we can convince. It is the time to do it, because after that, with the new accountability, I don't know if we can pass such a decision. Thank you.
To be clear, I believe what we're asking is exactly what you just said, is that we not do these requests. We may still have to say this is the year we want one in North America in the special budget request. We need some process for doing that. But what we are asking for is that overall funding be provided in the general ICANN budget to allow for this kind of expenditure. So I didn't use those exact words, nor do I think Olivier's paper does, because we can't be too prescriptive. How do they implement it? But it's the commitment to have the end result that I think is the important thing. Sebastian.
Yeah, as a process, do you get a meeting with the board finance committee prior to this discussion? Because I will caution you to do that straight on in front of the whole board. You will have a clash back almost immediately from some members. And we need really to be conscious that I can tell you that it took me, even if you didn't see it, a long time and discussion with a lot of people in the board to have the finance of the second summit. And I can tell you that some board members are still there, and it was very difficult to convince them. And if they discover that like that, and if it's not goes through a discussion with the board finance committee, we will be in trouble. It's a process issue. Not, I totally agree with the proposal. I have no doubt that it's a good way to go. Just how we will do it is also important. Thank you very much.
For the record, there has not been, nor is there likely to be, a discussion with the Board Finance Committee. There have been discussions with individual members. Tijani?
Another remark, Olivier, Tijani speaking. Olivier, if you can make the presentation very simple. Don't present the tables, please, because people will be confused. Present the, make the proposal as, Olivier, make the proposal as simple as possible so that everyone can understand it and can see what is the impact, the budget impact on it. If you put the table, they will be...
If I may respond, it's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. So the latest version of the document has a simplified table, which fits on one page. And it's much more easy to go through it. It doesn't have all the numbers, it doesn't have all the details. And thanks to Ariel's expert advice, we've managed to make it understandable by a three-year-old. I'm hoping that board members will be able to understand it.
I wouldn't make that assumption, but it is not our norm to use visuals for these discussions. So I wouldn't think we're going to post tables of past GAs and past atlases in this particular meeting. Sebastian, is that a new one or an old? Old. Anything else? All right. The next item, item B, is identifying a number of requests. The special request is the name of the process that we go through to make requests prior to the budget that are unique to us. And we made several of them this time that it makes no sense to have made. In one of them, we're not asking for money, but we're asking for ability to use travel slots in a flexible way like every other ACNSO has, except we have special provisions on ours. We have discussed this with staff members interminably and been told, no, sorry, that's the rule. Okay, that's number one. Number two is we made a special budget request to give IT money to fix the language translation problem for Lacrallo, the Spanish-English. This is a problem we've been having since 2008, and it has not been resolved. The third one was the new meeting strategy proposed that on the C meeting, the last day be allocated the way we did in Dublin, that is for a combination of professional development, team building, to make sure we're off to a good start. Yet we have to put a special request in to fund it. I would have assumed if we have a new strategy that says that's how we use the Friday, we would have been asked, how do you plan to use and what, how much money do you need for it, as opposed to us putting in an ad hoc special request. And the last one, which is still under investigation because we're trying to find out the real facts, is we have asked for a strategy session on Saturday, which will include a hot lunch. There are a number of other groups in ICANN who routinely seem to be fed, and we don't. And the question is, why is there an inequity? Now, at this point, I have been told that there is no inequity. They get special funding, not special funding, but it is sponsored by somebody. I've made some inquiries to find out what the reality is. Based on my history with the GNSO over 8 years, I strongly doubt that, but we'll see. That one may or may not end up on the list, depending on what happens. In none of these cases are we asking the board to intervene and do something. The point is we had to make a special budget request because it seemed to be the only way of getting people's attention. That says something's broken in the process. We should be able to get the attention and get problems resolved without going through the process of writing a 2-page form and submitting it to the Finance Committee when the Finance Committee has nothing to do with the particular area we're looking at. That's the issue, not resolution. Now, I will tell you that our board member is working hard to resolve the issues. And for that, I am grateful. But that's not why they were on the agenda. So I really don't want to go into the details of the grievance we had in the one by one, but simply to point out that there's something broken in the system if we have to go to that level to get someone to pay attention to an IT problem, for instance. Comments, questions? Alu, Tijani, sorry, I don't seem to be really good at seeing vertical cards today.
Thank you, Alan.
Tijani.
Okay, thank you. Alan, don't forget that we have only 60 minutes for this meeting. And the number of issues we want to discuss, do you hear me? The number of issues we want to discuss is very long, very high. So I am afraid we'll dilute, for example, the issue of the summit, which is for us, for me, which has the most priority, the highest priority. Also, those concerns you just raised can be done through a letter to the board. We are allowed to make advice to the board, but we can also give them share with them our concerns, and we may have a response from them. So perhaps we need to dedicate this meeting to the issues that we feel they are critical for us. Thank you.
I would suggest we address this by ordering the items differently, and we still have the flexibility of doing that. We can't really just pull them off right now, nor do I believe we should. These items are all raised because we believe there's a level of dialogue needed, not just sending a letter over the wall. And for the record, Olivier suggests we raise another issue with the board of why is it that only staff gets water at these meetings? The rest of us have to... Olivier wants to say something on my comment.
Thank you, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. No, but there was a letter which you did send to Steve Crocker, I believe. Was it co-signed by, was it Tijani and you? Have you received a response? Okay, so Mike, perhaps, because maybe then we don't have to ask the question.
We had a meeting with the appropriate people. They tried to address the issue, but the result, I will not speak about it, but I say that there is an interaction. The result of the letter, there is an interaction, but what happened after...
Sorry, Heidi was talking to me. I didn't hear the question. Yes, we did get a response. We met with someone who was immediately relieved of that duty, and we have heard nothing yet since from the people who now have that responsibility. The responsibility is transferred somewhere else.
I thought they got rid of the person who responded because they responded.
No, they didn't get rid of her. Let's not go into that subject at this point. Heidi reminded me that we have been advised that it would be a good opportunity to send our white paper in as a comment to the public comment on the proposed budget, which just opened yesterday, I think. So we have a window on to do that. So we will probably forward it to other places too, but we will submit it in that forum as well. All right, let's quickly, we only have 5 minutes left. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Sean for the record. Just to clarify, was the water then a joke or is it in connection with the letter that Tijani was saying? Then the second comment I have is in relation to the B. You said requests we should not have to make. That is, is the intent to... challenge either staff or board that this should have happened normally without us asking for it. Is that the intent we want to communicate to the board?
What I want to communicate to the board is that the overall processes within the organization to fix problems or address issues is not always working. If we have to submit a budget request purely, even though there's no money involved, just to get someone's attention, there's something wrong. And that means we are wasting our time, our staff are wasting their time in addressing issues that are not being fixed. The comment on water, I am not planning to present to the board, but it was one we certainly could present if we chose to. But no, we're not presenting that. That was a joke. The new meeting strategy is off the agenda. We took that one off at the suggestion of a number of people. Consumer trust, is that on new meeting strategy? Garth?
No, sorry.
Okay. The issue on consumer trust is we've had two interactions over the last little while. one during the CCWG and one an issue that Garth raised with compliance that implies that in some parts of ICANN there is a belief that consumer trust is not a priority issue. We are simply raising with the board that we believe that it is a priority issue. It is, for instance, in the mission of compliance, and we believe ICANN needs to think about how they bring further focus to the overall issue. And Garth, I believe, is likely to be someone who can talk to that, but we need to talk about the details before the meeting on Wednesday. We have Garth and Tijani, and recall, I do have to leave in 3 minutes. If the meeting wants to keep on going, it can, but I have to leave. Garth?
Thank you, Alan. Garth Bruin. So I think there's one specific issue among the four from our letters, and that is their pledge to hire a consumer safeguards director. And they have said they were going to do this, and they said that they would have an announcement about it by this meeting. Haven't heard anything. So I think if we get to the bottom of that, we'll have a lot of our answers on how seriously they take this issue.
Yeah, we haven't had the time to talk, but we need to coordinate how we say it. As Tijani has pointed out, we have very limited time in this meeting, so we have to do something in a focused way. Well, there's more than one issue because of the CCWG interactions also. But it's a combined thing. Tijani.
You almost said what I wanted to say. It is a very important point, but can we accommodate all these points in 60 minutes with the board? This is the problem. And now we have the review team about the consumer trust. So perhaps we need to make use of our representatives there.
Noted. We will talk in the next day over the ordering of these items. The last item is the one on the board has raised, and I'll quote what they say. Diversity is considered to be a challenge in ICANN. How is your SOAC, in our case our AC, doing with respect to enhancing diversity in all of its dimensions? What can ICANN do to support it? Well, I think I won't say unique, but we certainly address diversity, number one, because we have no choice. Now, there are other organizations, including the CCNSO and the ASO, that are balanced because they also have regional representation. But I think, to be quite candid, we do a much better job having real diversity than just nominal diversity. My comment is a very short and simple one, that if we want diversity, we have to recognize that the diverse people we're looking for come with some extra rules. They tend to come from places where they don't have good communication, where we don't have good internet connectivity, where we don't have telephone connectivity, where they don't have as much free cash as some of the other people might. They don't tend to be sponsored by rich companies. And if our attempts to be diverse do not factor in that the conditions that the diversity people, and I hate to put people in buckets, but have to live with are different, then we're not going to succeed. The same level of problem that we have with at large overall, given that none of us have companies that are paying our way here and companies that will upgrade us to business class because it's a long-haul flight or pay for an extra day in the hotel, disadvantages us. And if we want to make sure that the voices are heard, both from at large in general and for the more diverse parts of at large, so to speak, there has to be accommodation for it. But I'm sure other people have other things to say, and I'm going to turn the meeting over to Olivier. There is a 15-minute coffee break, and they have been really religious about removing the coffee and everything exactly at the end of the time. We do not have coffee and refreshments in this room,
as we did yesterday. So I'll leave it to Olivier to see how long the meeting runs and report back to me on it. We will be talking about this between now. And I pointed to Olivier, there is some water in the corner there. You have to fetch it, though.
Maybe we can do the coffee break, because if it's up and up there, let's go for the coffee break.
So in my new capacity as chair of this meeting, as a purely bottom-up thing, let's have a break get the coffee.
On the other hand, we really do need additional voices than mine on answering the board's question.
Exactly.
So somehow you have to figure out some time to do that.
So Heidi will be standing outside the door and taking your name on what question you want to answer to the board, and will then let you out if you do answer one question. No, that was a joke.
Excuse me, we'll have coffee and tea in a short while. I've just asked for it.
Sorry, the tea break is upstairs. So if you want tea, if you want coffee now, there's a buffet, as far as I'm aware, there's a buffet of pastries and coffee and tea. One flight up. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to reconvene the ALAC working session number something.
Part one. We're
still part one, Sunday. Just to wrap up the session that I had to walk out on, I understand there were no further comments on what we would ask the board to consider or what we want from the board on diversity. If there is anyone who wants to either have a say in that discussion or have someone raise something, please talk to me privately. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are the issues to be discussed with the board already defined? Those issues, all those issues, we will not reduce them?
Sorry, say that again. I missed the word.
The number of issues that will be discussed with the board, I propose that we reduce them. Shall we keep them as they are?
Okay. Number four is not there. It's invisible. You just think it's there. It was removed from the agenda. It just didn't get removed from that document. Okay. The other ones I suggested and didn't hear any other objections other than your suggestion that we reorder them, in other words, effectively prioritizing them and assign some estimated times to it. If anyone else other than Tijani feels we should omit any of the items, then either speak very quickly now or come talk to me privately. I see no one else right now. Then I'll take it that is a reasonable thing to do. And that should address the issue of if we run out of time, we run out of time and the ones drop off the bottom. I will certainly talk to Jani, if no one else, about what the order is. We are now back on the CCWG, I believe. Can we have up the presentation? We are on the recommendation on the integrating the affirmation of commitments into the bylaws. I think that is number 9. And you'll give me just one moment to pull it up on my machine so I can know what I'm talking about. I have not gotten on Adobe Connect in this session, so we don't take any more time. If somebody else can be monitoring Adobe Connect, if there's anything that needs my attention, let me know, please. All right. With the withdrawal of the U.S. government from the NTIA process, there was a general feeling that we should also, at the same time, effectively cancel the affirmation of commitments, which is an agreement signed jointly by ICANN and the U.S. Department of Commerce. That was reinforced by the fact that the agreement itself was cancelable by either party on relatively short notice. So although ICANN has signed the affirmation of commitments, in theory, the board could cancel it should they choose. Given that there was a general belief that we should not be able to withdraw from the commitments that were there, and the belief that the U.S. government should be taken out of the loop in general, there was overall agreement to incorporate the affirmation within the bylaws. Now, the affirmation of commitments includes a number of specific commitments, and it also includes the requirement, the commitment, to do a number of reviews, specifically the review on ICANN accountability and transparency, on who is, on the resiliency and stability of the domain name system, of the root system, and following a year following and thereafter the release of the new GTLDs, a review on consumer trust, competition, and choice, sorry. My mind is going, apparently. That has largely been done. There were a number of the commitments that were in the AOC that were already in the bylaws. Those obviously were basically left unchanged. There were a number of commitments which were not in the bylaws, and those have been inserted. And the reviews themselves have been inserted. This was a moderately uncontroversial thing to begin with, but became more controversial towards the end for a number of reasons. First of all, a number of parties, we were one of them, but the board was another, and specifically Steve Crocker, objected strenuously to the inclusion of the Who Is report, Who Is review, as it was stated in the affirmation of commitments. Two reasons. Number one, it was using terminology which was obsolete at the time it was written, and stated as absolute requirements, things that are illegal under some national laws. So it clearly did not make a lot of sense to put into our bylaws things which were saying the wrong thing and recommending illegal behavior on the parts of some parties. So that was more of a battle than I thought it should have been, but it was addressed. The second problem that was raised was a number of people felt that the details of these reviews should, other than perhaps the ATRT one, should not actually be in the bylaws. They should be in some ancillary document and a lot easier to change and flexible. There were a number of people who were adamant that they had to go into the bylaws, and that's where they've stayed. There were a number of other changes made along the way. One of them was the current implementation of the reviews is that the review teams are selected by the chair of the GAC and either the chair of the board or the CEO, depending on which review it is. And they make the selection depending on the subject at hand. So in some subjects, the ASO, for instance, has absolutely no interest and they were not included. Other ones, the balance was quite different. The current proposal says that the selection will be done by the chairs of the ACs and SOs, and there will be a review team of 21 or up to 21. Curiously, the document says this is based on the past history. The actual past history is there were never more than 13 ACNSO members. The interim document also suggested that there could be an unlimited number of observers who would be equal members of the, not observers, of participants who would be equal members as they were on the CCWG. That was removed, thankfully. I believe personally the review teams are bloated and overloaded and they're going to have a hard time dealing with it. And I think this, giving the selection to the chairs is going to make it very, very difficult for some chairs to say no to their own committee's desires. So since the each group can have up to 7 people, given the structure of the current GNSO, it's going to be very difficult for the GNSO chair to not demand that they have 7 people on any review where they want it. So I think that is somewhat ill-conceived, but I think we've got to, you know, it's not going to kill the organization, and I think it will probably be changed within a year or two. It's one of those compromises that we were not going to win, and there are very few people on the CCWG who have actually participated in a AOC review. And one or two of those thought this was a dandy idea. So I don't think there's anything there which is particularly crippling, although there are a few things that we didn't like. Have I summarized that fully? I think I have. Any comments? Open the floor. Seeing nothing, hearing nothing. Nothing on here. Nothing on WDGAC. Recommendation 10. Now 10 is an interesting one. The history is this. We are saying, to be blunt, we do not necessarily trust the board. Therefore, we need to see some level of oversight of the board. The reason for not trusting the board is there's each of us who have been around for a while have at least one or two cases where we think the board did something really dumb. And there should have been a way to fix it. The way to fix it is that we are empowering the community, the ACs and SOs, to effectively be able to override the board. That presumes you can trust the ACs and SOs to, as a group, act in the benefit of ICANN and the public interest. Clearly, several of the SOs have a specific remit, and they quite justifiably are demanding things that their community wants. The same is true for ACs. I mean, we can make demands saying this is what users need, but there may be some overriding considerations. The board has a requirement to a fiduciary duty to look at the interests of the corporation and of the public, global public interest. So they're supposed to balance things. Each AC and SO has no obligation to balance things. Each of them is there to fight for whatever is right. The belief, however, is that if you put enough ACs and SOs together, they form a balanced unit. Now, the question then is, are each AC and SO accountable to their own constituencies? Okay. Are we accountable to the global internet user? Are the registrars constituency or stakeholder group within the GNSO accountable to all registrars? Is the business community, which consists of a half a dozen or a small number of people, accountable to the general business community of the world? Okay. So there's a general feeling that, yes, some of us might try to do a good job, others might do less of a job. In some cases, there's really very little evidence of a problem. There's not a lot of argument that the ASO is not directly traceable to the people within the numbering community, and each of those numbering communities are pretty open organizations. So, you know, some organizations are in a better position to defend their accountability than others. But the general feeling was we have had very little focus within ICANN on accountability of the individual organizations. We focused it all on accountability of the board. And as a component of an overall accountability, when we're giving more responsibility to ACs and SOs, there was a belief that we had to give accountability, make sure that they were indeed accountable. Overall, ACSO accountability is part of Workstream 2. In Workstream 1, we are simply saying that the regular periodic reviews to which most ACs and SOs are subject to, all of them except the GAC, that we factor in accountability as one of the considerations that should be looked at. And there's a new provision added that although the GAC is not subject to these reviews, and that's a historic thing for a bunch of reasons, and which you can go into if anyone wants to explore it further, that there is an obligation in the ATRT, I believe, to look at GAC effectiveness and make recommendations, which is effectively the same thing, but through a different mechanism. Questions or comments? In the past, we have strongly supported the need for ACSO accountability. Therefore, we were strong supporters of this recommendation. I don't believe we have had any specific comments. And I see Leon and Sebastian in that order.
Thank you very much, Alan. This is Leon Sanchez. Just to focus on this recommendation, what we should be looking at is to whether we support adding this as something that we should be looking further into our Workstream 2. So I know that there are a number of questions around how we should enhance AC and SO accountability. Should it be to each SO and AC in reciprocity? Should it be to our constituencies? Those are a lot of questions that are around the concept. But we are not trying to answer those questions at this point. We are just trying to answer whether we should be enhancing AC and SO accountability. And if we so decide to support this recommendation, then the corresponding work should be carried out as part of our Workstream 2 plan, as it has been established in the final report. Just that clarification. Thank you.
And as a clarification of the clarification, I don't think Recommendation 10 actually says, does the Workstream 2 part work? Recommendation 12 says that. But the net effect is the same. Sebastian.
Yes, thank you, Alan. I guess one of my trouble here is that we still speak about ASO and AC, but in fact, it's an overall structure of each ASO and AC. It's for the GNSO, it's a stakeholder group, it's a constituency. For us at large, ALAC is RALOS and the member of the RALOS is the at-large structure. We need to take that into account. I appreciate the comments of Leon, because I really think that one of the questions is that do we are just talking about accountability on our silo, or do we talk about accountability cross silos? And I think at the end of the day, we need to know, especially for a group like At Large, who is cross topics. We are not bound to one or the other addresses or domain names, whatever domain names are. We need to know that the other are accountable. Then in one way, we need to be accountable to them and they need to be accountable to us. That's something I hope that we will be able to work deeper during the work stream 2 phase. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Anyone else? Seeing nothing, recommendation 11. Okay, this one is a messy one. It's a messy one for a number of reasons. Partly there was an evolution over time as to exactly what the implications of recommendation 11 would be. The current formulation is related, well, it always related to how the GAC gives advice to the board and how that the board is obliged to react to that advice. You will recall that the ALAC can give advice to the board. How the board has handled that has varied over the years. The bylaws are not specific. In the extreme, in the early days, we would send advice to the secretary of the board or something, and there was a deep conviction among some of us that they immediately dumped it into the bin. There was strong evidence that it wasn't even distributed to board members in many cases. The world has changed significantly since then. We now get acknowledgement. It is tracked. There's a relatively complex process that goes along with the with how advice is handled. There is an accepted ATRT2 recommendation, not yet implemented for reasons unknown to us common people, that the board is obliged to respond to advice, and if they don't follow it, explain why. They are, in fact, following that practice right now, but the bylaw was never adopted. I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think people forgot. The situation with the GAC is different. The board, if the GAC gives formal advice, and I will be, for those of you again who haven't been following this very clearly, the GAC issues communiques. Up until the time of the new GTLD discussion, it was not clear if this was advice. In matter of fact, the board said, if you don't use the word advice, effectively it's not advice. So the GAC now uses the word advice. However, if the GAC gives formal advice, however you recognize it, if the board implements it, addresses it to the GAC's satisfaction, fine. If the board says we are not going to do that, then they must enter into discussions with the GAC to attempt to find a compromise. Ultimately, they may still say, no, we're not going to do it. But they can't do it without interaction. The GAC currently gives advice based on consensus. As you know, every single part of ICANN defines consensus differently. The GAC's definition of consensus is in the GAC operating principles, and it says consensus is in the presence of in the presence of a desire to say something with no formal objection, then that is a consensus decision. So, translation, if one GAC member says, I want to advise the board to wear red pants, if any one GAC member objects, it cannot be given as a consensus. So a single formal objection is enough to kill GAC consensus. Silence is fine. That essentially says any single government can veto. This is based on the United Nations General Assembly practices, so it's not an invention of the GAC. They're simply embodying practices that are used in international discussions on a regular basis. Because the NTIA, when they said they wanted, were willing to give up control of IANA, they said governments must not be in a controlling position. The implication, although it was not stated clearly until very recently, was that the current definition of consensus for giving advice to the board must not be changed. Now, this is interesting. The operating procedures for the GNSO, because they'd established policy, are approved by the board. Our operating procedures are not. We are given free rein to set our own procedures, as is the GAC. We are now imposing a rule saying the GAC cannot change this rule for the purposes of formal advice. Clearly, that was not viewed as being very nice by some GAC members. But it was initially believed it was a requirement of the U.S. government and later confirmed it was a requirement. Went through an immense number of iterations to try to find something that would be acceptable. About a year and a half ago, a board GAC committee made a recommendation that for the board to refuse GAC advice, they had to refuse it with a two-thirds majority instead of a simple majority. There was no net effect of that, because any time the board was going to refuse GAC advice, they were likely to do it with a near majority, near unanimity, if not unanimity. But it was symbolic. There was an uproar in the community, and the board withdrew the recommendation to change the bylaw. The GAC reintroduced the two-thirds majority, again, which is symbolic, but symbols are important, as a condition for accepting the no change in how the GAC develops consensus advice. That looked like it was going to go through until a number of people in the GNSO said, under no conditions will we accept increasing the GAC's power by increasing the threshold to reject their advice. We ended up with a compromise, in my mind, a purely symbolic compromise which allowed people to accept things without losing face, and split the difference between 50% or 51% and 66%, and said 60% is acceptable. And that's where it ended up standing. That worked until very near the end of the procedure, where the GNSO again raised an issue of, but what if the community, what if the GAC gives advice, the board does something, the community objects to it and tries to use its formal powers, remember those powers from a few recommendations ago? The GAC could use its objection to try to kill the rest of the community, stopping its advice from being followed. So it was suggested that for community actions in response to board action, in response to advice from the GAC, that the GAC could not participate. They would not be one of the five anymore. There were only four. That was objected to clearly by some people. You can imagine that there were some GAC members who were not particularly happy with this. But there were GNSO members who were not happy with the opposite. So you're not going to make everyone happy. However, there was an implication. The implication is, if you only have four groups left over who can vote, the CCWG had decided a long time ago that a single ACRSO should not be able to veto. There are powers that require four ACs or SOs to enact the power. If you only have four left, that's unanimity, which violated the principle that we had established earlier. Most of us were willing to accept that we reduce the four to a three, with the exception of removal of the entire board, which was felt to be so traumatic that we could not allow just three units to do that. So what we have ended up doing is essentially saying in that one case, it isn't reduced to three, it's still four, and it does require unanimity. For some of the other cases, it is reduced. And that's where we stand. So if you are following it, I think we had a compromise to a compromise to a compromise to a compromise. There may be one more added, and I'm not sure. Nobody is particularly in love with this. We, of course, still don't know how the GAC will respond to any of the recommendations, so I won't try to guess how they're going to respond to this one. Clearly, this is one of the more sensitive ones for them. The position the ALAC has taken from very early on in the discussions on the GAC is we want to see the transition, therefore we want to see the GAC moderately happy. We are not going to participate actively in the discussion. And we have maintained that pretty much throughout the process. We've discussed it ourselves privately, of course, but we haven't made formal statements with regard to that. And as I said, we've maintained that pretty solidly. So that's where we stand right now. I open the floor.
Sean.
This is Sean for the record. Thank you, Alan, for the introduction. I think the recommendation 11 is, even though initially I was one of the people that felt it was not really necessary, but since it was added as a requirement now, and considering that it will actually, on the long run, save the ICANN board some resources in having to engage the GAC every time, and also to improve the consensus building within the GAC, maybe it's good to go. But having the understanding of consensus within the GAC and the fact that going forward, the advice that board will actually be required to follow up with GAC with will be significantly reduced. I see no reason why, based on that understanding, we would still create a carve-out that says that GAC should not be able to defend that particular consensus advice. And the reason why I'm saying this is because yesterday I was asking a simple question. And permit me to go beyond my 2 minutes. I was asking a simple question yesterday about whether we as ALAC, if we write an advice to board and it's acted upon, whether and if the community issues a petition against that, whether we'll be allowed to defend our advice. And yes, we will. It's just not fair. It's not logical. It's not in the interest of multi-stakeholderism not to allow GAC to defend their advice. The issue of conflict of interest has been raised, and I just don't understand why it's referred to as conflict of interest. Any other part of the community could also, in fact, for some of the powers, we had said that some part of the community needs to approve before such power can be exercised. For instance, the one that has to do with policy. So I personally want to ask a question. My question is, when we're going to be doing the voting? Because I personally, I don't think I want to support going on with a recommendation that has to do with the GAC carve-out. So I want to ask the clarification on how our voting is going to go. Are we going to be doing it by recommendation, or are we going to do all? Thank you.
Thank you. In answer to that question, once we finish the review, we will then decide how we're going to vote or how we're going to address the issue. And I don't want to divert the discussion right now from that. the reason for the carve out is, and I'm answering this question as opposed to going on to the next speaker, because I think there's an important issue here. You said there is no reason, you cannot see why. There is a reason in the minds of some people. You're fully allowed to have whatever belief you have, but clearly there are other people who feel something very opposite and believe it is equally true. So we're dealing with people's opinions that are different. There are those in the, and specifically in the GNSO, who believe that since the GAC is in a preferential position to push for their advice, they shouldn't be able to formally object to someone else objecting to it. They can still defend themselves. They participate in the community forum, but they cannot essentially have their vote on it. So everyone is free to have their own positions, but let's not characterize something as being impossible when there are other people who equally feel strongly in the other direction. Hajar. You seem to have a translation problem.
Yeah. GAC, يجب أن تفهم.
And GAC has to understand that ALAC represents the representative at large, and that this group has to get the opportunity to express its needs, the needs of those, and that requires some freedom in dealing with ALAC. That should give a free hand to ALAC. This is what you say about advice. What I fear is that this advice becomes something that forces or commits others and becomes ordering and instructing, and that represents difficulty for the organizations. So that becomes that gives GAC an opportunity to have authority over ALAC, and that will limit the ALAC's ability to represent its users.
To be clear, the GAC has no authority over the ALAC now or in the future. Nothing we're doing changes that. And the board always has the discretion to refuse GAC advice. It is advice, it's not an order. So just to be clear. Next we have Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. as you said, it is one of the most controversial points, because what we have here is a compromise of compromise of compromise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I understand the point of Sean, because what he is raising is that there is not equality between the stakeholders. This is the issue. And I understand him very well. But I repeat that it is a compromise of a compromise. So we need to go ahead. I already made a statement about it, a minority statement about it. So I have a point of view, but I think that the compromise is acceptable now, and we have to go ahead with it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next we have is Cheryl, and as an introduction to Cheryl, this you'll notice in the subject is stress test 18, that one of the processes we went through in the CCWG is set up imaginary scenarios of what would happen if, and do the new accountability issues address the problem? And the issue of GAC advice and changing the method of consensus was one of the stress tests. It was one of the stress tests required by the U.S. government. Cheryl was the person who led the stress test effort, and it's not just on 18, but the 493 other stress tests that we worked on. So Cheryl does speak with a bit of knowledge of this subject. Thank you. Cheryl?
Thank you, Alan, Cheryl Langdonor, for the transcript record and just a tad of knowledge, just some. It is a requirement that under stress test 18, we are able to ascertain that as a result of our accountability initiatives, we are not increasing the power and role of a government. Okay, so that's, you've kind of got to think of it from that point of view to begin with. That's the critical test, right? That is a requirement. Governments cannot increase, be they GAC writ large or governments individually, cannot increase their power and influence in our multi-stakeholder model because of something we propose in our accountability framework. So as long as we're clear on that, hopefully it makes the next stages of what Alan quite well described to you all, which is the debates and the discussions and the compromises on the compromises on the compromises. Some governments, and it is their right to do so, would like to change at some future point in time, if not now, the nature of what the definition under Article 47 of the GAC is of consensus. It is what it is now, as Alan described. GAC consensus means no formal disagreement. Right? It's in the absence of formal disagreement that it goes on to consensus. That's the GAC's business. And just as all of the ACs and SOs, when it gets down to that level of policy and process, when it moves to process, we have said during this whole thing, you follow the rules within that part of the organisation. So it is the GAC's business, and that's all we want it to be. It's their business. But, right, what we don't want and what Recommendation 11 is all about is to allow some future point in time, near or far, for a far more watered down definition of GAC advice to happen without this constraint which exists now and works now for consensus GAC advice in the absence of formal objection. Because consensus GAC advice in the absence of formal objection is the GAC, capital G, advice, capital A, that the board, by our bylaws, has to treat differently to everything else, from everyone else. That is what it is now. That is what it is planned to continue. There is no erosion of these extraordinary and additional rights and privileges. What it is a deliberate, and I personally believe, necessary, not because of my own philosophy, but necessary because the parts of ICANN would not be able to agree otherwise, right? So it's not my personal view, but it's necessary for the process here to continue and succeed. That without Recommendation 11, without constraining the GAC from having a situation where quite literally, and Sean, you mentioned about board resources, and it's a little bit more interesting than that, the board has to treat with deference and due diligence GAC advice. They treat all of our advices now far more seriously than they did before. But it has to go through a very formal process for something capital G, GAC, capital A advice. That doesn't change. What does change, or what we are trying to make sure doesn't happen, is that if the GAC is divided, that different types of advice can come out. And then the ICANN board is put in the untenable situation where it has to choose which parts of the GAC it listens to. Should it listen to just one or a triumvirate or a small group? So it really is, do I regret having to do the carve-out? Yes. but you're either going to have one part of this organisation unhappy or the other unhappy. With this, we probably have everyone equally unhappy.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I think one of the things Cheryl said is important, and I didn't say it before. No. That I didn't make reference to. If we were to allow the GAC to give advice where the board has to take special action and special consideration that is not using today's method of consensus, any other method of consensus would allow the GAC to be split and still give advice. That puts the board in the position of deciding which governments it wants to side with. A really, really bad thing to have to do. Next we have Shun has his hand up again. I understand Sebastian has raised his hand in the Adobe Connect. And then Hajar.
Yeah, this is Shun for the record. Thank you, Cheryl. I just want to be clear. I really have no more problem with the stress test 18, recommendation 11. The explanation given by Sherry is clear. The intent is clear, and I think it's a good thing to do. What I have a problem with is the carve-out, not the stress test 18, which is recommendation 11. Alan, you mentioned that there is a reason why the carve-out is there. The question then, which I would like to put to the floor, is do we believe, what is that reason, and do we believe as ALAC that that reason is important enough and is in line with two things? One, our intent to ensure equal footing in promoting multi-stakeholder, our intent to promote the interests of internet users and internet community within ICANN. So if those two questions we could respond to that, again, all these things I'm saying has nothing to do with either the proposal going forward. They are not red lines for me to make the proposal not to go forward, but I think that we need to address that single issue. Stress test 18 is clear and out of the scope. Carve-out is a different thing that is not required. NTI did not require the carve-out. Am I correct, Sherry? Yeah, so it would be good to have a view on that particular aspect, and that's what I'm actually talking about, not stress test 18 at all. Thank you.
Thank you. And to be clear, we don't have to have unanimity. People can disagree. So it's allowed. We don't have the GAC rule in place where a single disagreement kills something. And personally, I'm grateful. We have a queue. I have... I've lost track now. We have Sebastian, we have Hajar, and I've put myself in the queue. Have I missed anyone? Sebastian, you're on.
Merci. En français, s'il vous plaît.
So I'm going to speak in French. First of all, question of principle. In this room, we should all be on equal footing. 2 minutes for everybody, or you get rid of those 2 minutes. You didn't have the 2 minutes only for me and not for the others. So you have to apply the rules to everybody. The rule applies to everybody at the same level. And please start my 2 minutes now, if you want to use the timer. But I think it's quite insulting that you do not treat everyone equally in this room. The issue we have, what do we want to do with ICANN? the issue of the role of governments, yes, they have more power than ALAC when they give advice to the board. The board has to look at it very closely. In the CCWG proposal, when GAC says something, we have to get rid of it. When GNSO, CCNSO, that says something, they have to be there. So it's not equal footing. The stakeholders are not treated equally. And the objective of our working group should be to make sure that everybody is at the same level. And for instance, the advice that we do give as end users, ALAC, given to the board, be treated just like the advice coming from the GAC. What we also have to understand is that Alan said that we don't have to have a consensus with 15 people, but let's, if we were like working with the GAC, 200 representatives of all our ALSs would be present, and we would have to have unanimous agreement with 200 representatives. That would be quite a difficult way of moving along. We have to understand that the way we function is different. 15 people on one side, 150 on the other. In order to find a consensus, it's difficult that with 15 people, of course, even more with 150. It's good to give them some leeway. That makes sense. Do we give them more power that way? I don't think so. The objective should be, and is, I hope, to give power to all the entities, to all the parties, to the entire community. It's not where you are that matters. That's why I have an issue with this document, which is more complex and doesn't enable us to be on equal footing. We have winners, and the winners are always the same. And they are not going to make governments be able to be heard. And for me, This carve-out, as you say in English, is really an issue. It's an issue for me in this document. Thank you very much.
For the record, the timer was countdown timer was started in the previous speaker, not for Sebastian. It was started because we're now 2 minutes over past our break. I'm willing to continue this, but it eats into our lunch, and we will start after lunch at the same time. If people want to continue putting their hands up, that is up to them. I have a speaker list right now of Hajar and me.
Very briefly, I would like to speak about the consensus, what you have called to be in consensus. What I would like to suggest is to, we call it agreement rather. And this is a very unique experience that we did in Tunisia, and you have probably followed that after the events that took place in Tunisia, which have been the reason why Tunisia, and I don't really know how to say this in French and English, but it's a magic word, and we can, with that, that consensus is something we cannot reach, like Sebastian said. Imagine that the framework is made of 100 or 200 people. How can we reach a consensus in that framework? Therefore, agreement and trying to come with an output where each compromise a little bit, we each take a step forward and try to meet halfway.
Closed. Our interpreters do have to leave in about 3 minutes. This is a very contentious issue, and to correct the record, I didn't say that this group doesn't have to reach consensus. We do. I said it doesn't have to have unanimity. People can object. That those objections may end up causing us to reject something or accept something. Our rules are relatively well-defined, and we'll review what the rules are when we start talking about how to make the decision. But, we do encourage people to actually think for themselves and make decisions. So there is nothing wrong with people disagreeing, as long as we do it with clear understanding of what we're saying. That's it. I have no other comments right now. We will reconvene and discuss the methodology that we will use for coming to a decision. We reconvene at 13:30, 40-55 minutes from now. I please ask people to be here and be seated at that time. We are on a really tight schedule, and when it takes 15 to 20 minutes to seat the group and to have quorum, we have a real problem. So please be here, be ready to work at 1:30, 13:30. Thank you. Now, this is a ALAC and regional leadership meeting, but to be blunt, it's the ALAC that has to have quorum to make a decision. So I'm not, I want everyone to be here, but if the ALAC is not here, we can't proceed. Thank you. Now that we're off the record, and I thank our interpreters for being indulgent with us, does anyone know where we can get lunch aside from that little place in the tent? And tech support, and our at-large staff, and the ALAC, and the regional leaders, and our visitors. Thank you, Tijani. If anyone knows where one can get lunch here, I would appreciate knowing it.